at least in the Jewish communities under Muslim influence in the 11th and 12th centuries, say something like the Rambam. The Rambam says you should not think of your wife as a prisoner. She should be allowed to go out of the house once or twice a month to visit her relatives, but had a very negative opinion of her going out to work, that the husband could prevent his wife from taking a job outside the house. In Europe, and also, as we will see, in Egypt, several centuries later, when the economic situation changed for the worse, in fact, women were allowed to not only go out of the house, but apparently violate the laws of Yichud as they applied, in the sense of the Gemara. So let me first begin with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Ha'isha shenechbesha biyad avdei kochavim. This is from Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. A woman who's kidnapped or captured by avdei Avodah Zarah, ad yidei mamon muteret l'ba'ala, if she's been captured for the sake of ransom, then there is no presumption of either rape or voluntary sexual relations, and therefore she's allowed to return to her husband, even if he's a Kohen. Al yidei nefashot, if this issue is not clear exactly what al yidei nefashot means, but basically if they're going to kill her or her husband anyway, and she manages to escape, then there's a problem that there may have also been rape that has intervened. And Gemara discusses this, and Gemara says the reason why al yidei mamon is permissible is because the Oved Kochavim thinks that the husband will not ransom his wife if she has been raped or otherwise harmed, to make her not palatable to her husband. But al yidei so that's, now let me read what Tosfot says. The Sulamidi Perush the Vadai have saved Mamon Shiny. That in the case where the guy is worried about losing his financial interest in being able to get ransom from this woman, then that's a separate case, and the laws of Yichud, namely the perhaps presumption of some sexual activity having taken place between the captor and the wife, is not there. About Yichud ba'alma, but if simply a married woman becomes isolated with a non-Jew, Ema da asur ach b'deyevet. The simple interpretation of the Gemara would be that if a Jewish wife, or especially the wife of a Kohen, where she would be prohibited even in the case of rape, is left alone in a private circumstance with a non-Jew, then there is a presumption that there was some form of rape and she would be prohibited to her husband. So that is the seemingly logical conclusion of the Gemara. Tema, the Gemara Tosa says, how is this possible? In Cain, lo hinachta batla v'raham avinu eshet kohen yoshevet tachat ba'ala. If that's the case, no Jewish woman married to a kohen could ever be allowed to live with her husband. It's impossible that in the course of her daily activities she is not isolated with a guy for an hour. The Kevan Deleka have saved Mamon Chayshina. And since there's no loss of money, the guy is not going to lose any money there, we would be Choshesh. So therefore, what Tosis is asking, the din of a Gemara, that a woman who has, especially a woman married to a Kohen, who has voluntarily been, or rather who has been in an isolated situation with a non-Jew, where one is not dealing with a ransom case, would be automatically prohibited because there's a presumption, at least, of rape. If that's the case, no, it just doesn't coincide with normal daily practice that we find here in France and Germany, in Europe, in the 11th and 12th centuries. language of Tosfos is pretty strong. Tema in Kain lohi nachta bat la avraham avinu eshet kohen yoshevet haba tachat ba'ala. V'yesh lomar, the ein ze ela dichui ba'alma. The Gemara is simply just giving an answer. Kloma mehocha lo tochiach. U'mikomakom divir rabina emetem. V'od yesh lomar, the afilu lefi ha'maskana, even according to the conclusion of the Gemara, ein le'esor yichud mo'at. One shouldn't prohibit a short type of yichud, of an isolated circumstance. The dafka nechfeshah shayni. Only in a case where the woman is actually imprisoned is there such a doubt. Lefi shehi mesura biyado kein behema. She's in his power like a piece of cattle. The hocha biyado lo aval hocha she'eina tachat yado shel oved kochavim klal. In the present, in the circumstance where the guy is coming into her house for business purposes, but she's not subject to his authority, okay? So the Gemara is Tosfos primarily on the basis of current practice, that is, practice the way it was. Women were engaged in business. And in particular, they were engaged in money lending, and frequently a guy who was a customer would come in either to make a loan or to redeem his pledge or to exchange his pledge or something, and the husband would be away from home on a trip or something like that. So it's impossible, Tosfos says, to have a situation where the law of Yichud should apply if we simply interpret the Gemara literally. So that's the Tosfos on the daf in Avodah Zarah.
What daf is that?
Daf Chaf in Avodah Zarah. Tosfos the way I'm asking the two lomi. Okay? Now, let's see how this decision of the Tosfos manifests itself in various times in the Shiva literature. Let me move forward a couple of centuries to the to Matadeshan. It's the 15th century. She'ela. Isha achat eshet yisrael. So this is the Tumat Hadeshen, Chelek Aleph, Simun Reish Mem Beis. She'ela. Isha achat yisrael. Regila lehityached bevatei nachrim. She would sometimes visit her alone into the houses of non-Jews. Lefamim b'layla kemo b'yom. Al yidei sirsurut u'masa u'matan she'yesh la'im nachrim. On the basis of various forms of brokerage and other types of business that she would have with non-Jews. So again, here, in complete contrast to the situation in Egypt under the Rambam, women were typically going out to engage in business and to... and here it was a woman who not only would find herself as the sole woman in the presence, sole Jewish woman in the presence of these non-Jews, but sometimes would have to stay overnight.
Like selling insurance, like,
right. Whatever she was selling, I mean. V'da'akola lechet l'kvarim. She would normally go to the various small towns as part of her normal business activity. L'shahot harbe pa'amim yechida b'ena nachrim. Kamo shmona yamin v'yoter. On occasion, she would borrow or take on credit various items that she would then go to sell when she didn't have enough cash to pay off her creditors. Sometimes she would be put in jail because she didn't have enough money to cover her credit, or cover her purchases, whatever, yeah. She maxed out on her credit card and they put her in debt. She nechbasha yechidit ben hanachim yamim ushvuim. Shari la ba'ala o asura. Is such a woman allowed to live with her husband or not? Or even if she is allowed to remain with her husband, does he have the ability to divorce her without having to pay the ketubah because she violates the rules of what a good Jewish wife should do? Tshuva.
Did he forbid her to do this?
Apparently not.
so that would help the
young person. Who's asking the child?
Doesn't say. Presumably a nosy neighbor or the rabbi of the local community or some nudnik. Okay. Shuva. Yira'eh, he writes, Ve'ein le'osra al ba'ala b'shvil kol ha'ma'asim halalu she'hiriya la'asot. One cannot forbid her to be remain married to her husband despite all of these evil deeds that she did. The mishum dinit yachdam yirutzona im anachrim gam laila gam yom lo asmina mishum hachi. Even though she stayed overnight even alone with non-Jews, we don't make her prohibited to her husband for this reason. The kevan de'ena mesura biyadam kamo hanechbeshet, because she's not in their power like a kidnapped person. Lo chayshin en afilo la'onsin. We don't worry even for rape. The shari afilo la'kohen, and therefore she would be allowed to return to live with her husband even if he were a kohen. Kamo shemachalkim hatosfot perek beis la'avodazar daf chaf gimel amud aleph, the tosfos that we just read. The imlav came to say for Tzvumah b'shein Riv. The imlav came lo heinach the bat la'avraham avinu shekshera la'kuhuna. She di'i ashad lo shelo yitiyachev em anachim pa'am achat. For kol shekain le'dat ashiri, the sovah, the dikhi, the perek beis, the avodazar, the shani, mishon efseid, mamon, lav bichuri, al karmelon, kishinu, de orvina, de chol, de lo, al yidei nafashot, afilu, musura, b'yadam, b'dei yevet, muteret. V'ad ektane al yidei mamon, muteret, lav dafka, al afilu, nashi, de ganvu, aganvi, de lo tafsua, kadei shiafdua, de leka, lo, v'lo, al ba'alat, v'yat mamon, shori, b'dei yevet, afilu, l'kohen. And he goes on to discuss this, and I won't read the whole tshuva.
Can I ask a what about if she has to do with
the Jewish men? Well, the Jewish men, we've come to some unpleasant cases with Jewish men where they actually were some unpleasant circumstances in a moment, but the presumption is the Jewish men would not engage in rape the way non-Jews was. Remember that even in the middle of, in the Middle Ages, rape, even public rape, was a public sport. I mean, so rape was a very common offense. So, but nevertheless, the Tosfos ends here. And okay. So here's another activity in which women were engaged. They were engaged both in selling things, peddling or brokerage, and also as doctors.
Man the shori love the yehed the samech leah halatosfot ala sefer atuma b'shemri b'ashiri nami matu v'digavli lo machinun biyadam.
So therefore, he says that as far as the law is concerned, she is allowed to resume relations with her husband, but as far as the question of whether he can divorce her without penalty, in other words, if she's considered as overat al dat yehudit, he's a little ambiguous and tends to the possibility of the fact that she may have lost her ketubah by acting inappropriately. Okay. He's talking about what the actual practice was. I'm just pointing out the Jewish women in Europe from the 11th century through to the 15th or 16th century were actively engaged. They were not the sole breadwinners, but they were actually engaged in business. Here's another shuva from his contemporary. Well, I mean, we have it nowadays, but I don't know to what extent it...
when was that written?
That was at the beginning of the 17th century. That was a couple of centuries later.
I think she implied that she didn't work.
She did not work, her husband, but she took up the business after her first husband died.
And then we had the famous Baroness.
That's right. She was definitely engaged.
What was her name?
Donna Grazia.
Yeah.
She was...
What generation?
That was the 16th century, 17th century.
She was Sfardi.
She was Sfardi.
That's right. Well, yes or no?
Well, she was a Murano and returned to Judy.
She went through Austria and then another...
Right. Okay. Here again, from the same period...
Went through Hungary, didn't she?
Again, from the 15th century, but a tshuva from Rav Moshe Mintz. Asher katavta b'inyan yichud nashim... And that too, it's true that we have cases where Jewish women go on a trip with a single individual on coach or something like that. He says that the rabbis have no power here, we're talking about the 15th century, to prevent women from going on business trips and which would lead them into cases of isolation. I'll now move up one century to the 16th century, but this time in Egypt. Here we have a much poorer situation. This is a tshuva of the Radvaz. Sha'alti mimenu. You asked me, I've told mimeni. Almasha nahagu b'mitzrayim. There's a custom in Egypt. Sha'holchot ha'nashim la'asot melacha b'veit ha'akum. That women go to do embroidery work in the factory, in the house of a non-Jew. Va'omdot sham shlosha o arba'a yamin b'leilot. So here you have sort of a sweatshop where women go to do embroidery work in a house of a non-Jew. Tshuva. Yesh b'maaseh pritzut gadol lo yeshuah. This is certainly a great lack of modesty. U'kvar na'asu haskanot miyad ha'negidim al zeh. And there have been various pronouncements on the part of the leadership against this. Some of the women paid heed and resisted taking on these kinds of jobs. But many women, or a portion of the women, couldn't obey the edicts of the rabbis on this. Because they're poor. Ubalehem aniyim, and their husbands are poor. Ulo yitnu lehem lo levush, ulo ksut bekara, ulo levnehem. They can't give them any kinds of clothes or even something to keep them warm in the winter, or to their children. Vehem tzrichot levakesh mechiatan, and they simply have to find their earnings. Vaholchot bereshut ba'alehem, and their husbands agree to allow them to go to work. What we were able to enforce as a decree, shelo yeshvu al shulchan echad la'asot melacha harikum anashim v'yanashim kasher haya b'tchila, that the women would do their stitchery at a separate table from the men, at least in the acts of stitchery they would be separated as opposed to what it was before. Ella shahanashim liyatzman vanashim liyatzman va'od shelo telechna ella haskenim liyabaim shana umala, that only old women 40 years and older, who presumably are no longer sexually attractive. I don't know what the lifespan was. Umikol makom, l'inyan hadin ein kan chash isur le'asorata al ba'ala, chadasha holechet yoter mishalosh nashim, v'ein kan yichud, dahak yiktani lo yityached ishim shtei nashim, mashmo ham gimel odalad mutal, adar lashizal, v'af al pi shi yish cholkim alav, hanimilin lachat chila, aval b'diyevad lo, v'tu, דאיקה אנשים הרבה, ואם כן נשים הרבה, אם אנשים הרבה מותר אפילו לכתחילה, וכן כתב הרמב״ם זל פרח אפון מלכות ייסורי ביה. ותו, בפתח פתוח לרשות הרבים, anybody can go into the factory, the door is open, unlike the triangle fire case in New York where they all died. ותו, דבעלה בעיר, ואמר רבה דבעלה בעיר, אין חששים משום ייחוד. So he faces up to the reality of the situation. He can't prevent these poor women from going and taking a job. So he tries to at least keep them separate at the place of work and says there's no ichud.
One woman accompanying another would not be sufficient.
But three or more, he says, offer.
Two or three.
Right. Ule'inyan im avra v'netyachta im anachri v'makom sh'asul et yached, in hin esaret im lo, in a situation where there actually was yichud, ve'eshet Yisrael lo tibay alach devale luchuli alnu mutarat lavala degar sinon biasar yochzin amarav malkin al yichud ve'ein oschim al yichud. Uperush Rashi zal malkin al yichud bepnuya ve'ein oschim eshet ish al ba'ala al yichud. Ve'af al gav de Rashi zal itle chashinon shemen nitratzit v'chasaf ikzveka sveka nevala sveka lo nevala v'shemen aonis v'shon ratzon. Etc. And then he says that there are even opinions where an Eshet Kohen would be permitted, and he reviews the position that we have now. So that's another case where women were allowed to go to work. Let me read still a third Shuva. This is a very unpleasant Shuva, and the quotation that I'll read from here is basically a side issue to the main issue, which is, let's first read the quotation, and I'll tell you what the Shuva was about. So this is from the Chavat Yair, so we're now talking about a couple of centuries later, 1700s. Al-Kain ani machzik b'divrei ha-roshanim. Since we have to do all our business with non-Jews, and we're having a very difficult time making a living, and since we have to allow our women to go out and do actual business with them, and to prohibit this would be a prohibition that the community would not be able to withstand. Here we're revoking a gzeirah, namely the prohibition of Yichud that was made by a great Beit Din, and at least it should require a second Beit Din to permit it. Kol shekein yichud shehu mirud chet davar shafilu elav eino yachol lebatel, even an actual Beit Din, k'ma shetazus v'alk mikol makom mimela mipnei rov hatzorech, because of the pressing economic need, mitpashet v'lo ra'u chachmei darot limchot, and therefore the rabbis of all of the later generations did not see fit to protest this violation of the prohibition of Yichud. Inami, it would be impossible to for the tzibur to follow this. Inami nichu v'lo hil, lo ha'il, or perhaps they tried to protest and did no good. Anything that is not an explicit biblical prohibition, we do not make a protest when we know that that it would not be followed. וזהו טעם פרצת הדור בזה, ויספיק גם לייחוד אנשים ממהם בנוגעים היתר ותולו מידי. So Reb Chaim Yair Bachrach is simply saying that in Europe of his time, and maybe the previous four or five centuries, the prohibitions of Yichud have essentially disappeared because they could no longer be enforced, and mainly for economic reasons, and the rabbi simply gave up on that issue. This is Tshuva Ayin Gimel. It's a continuation of Tshuva Ayin Beis. The case is one of incest, actually. It was a case of a boy who was sleeping with his parents, and eventually he became old enough that he basically raped his mother. And the question is how to deal with the case. It's an extremely unpleasant case with all the details spelled out, but since it's not relevant to what we're dealing with here, I just cited this particular case.
And he shows poverty because they all live poverty.
No, this was not a poor family. This was a much more complicated situation in which there were some psychological issues involved with the boy. You don't want to know this case. It's not one of the cases that necessarily is terribly enlightening. Some cases are just unpleasant by their very nature. Okay.
Actually, what we're saying here, what you were saying about the Rambam, brings up that it says, so abrogating either a minhag or not minhag, but a sin or something, can have a greater, more powerful, or more so forth. And so abrogate a previous one.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens here is it just dissipated over a period of time. It didn't even require a
Well, the rabbis were not happy with it, but they compromised their consciences with public practice.
Yeah, that principle of the rova amrei nam yifon la lova still applied, but it wasn't like an official, that's not an unusual.
That law is at the initial time when you give the edict. In other words, a Beit Din is not allowed to issue an edict which the people could not stand. But here's a case in which this edict had been existing for 1,000 and more years, 1,200 or 1,300 or more years, whatever, from whenever the time of the Yudchet Davar was until the time of the Ger Bachrach. So and therefore, theoretically at least, to revoke it would require a Beit Din of at least as great an authority, and maybe even that wouldn't be enough. But the pressure of economic circumstance and public practice was such that the rabbis simply decided that it's best to turn a blind eye to this rather than trying to enforce.
Isn't this in a way, like the conservative movement has always been saying, that those laws don't apply anymore, and we should, the times have changed, and in a way it's out of like a dangerous...
He's admitting failure. He's admitting that the rabbis, maybe the rabbis did protest, he said. That didn't do any good. He's simply pointing out a fact. It's not an issue of precedent. It's just a historical fact that the laws of Yichud, as they applied in the time of the Gemara, were not in fact followed in Europe when women would go out into business from something like the 12th century to the 17th century. I'm not expressing either approval or disapproval of it. It's simply a fact.
And then the law of Yichud itself was lacking in the first place. Because, I mean, if we have a halakha that exists and the Beis Din decide on it, like the Rambam says, it's a high Beis Din, then how does it disappear over time without, like, there should be...
How?
This one was the rabbis turned the blind eye to the
No, it wasn't that law. However,
that's what
I heard. No, but whatever. The rabbis managed to succeed in that one. They were unable to succeed on this one.
So that economic thing?
Well, both economic and social. I mean, in the situation of the mikvah, the issue was what ritual to use in order to have the woman go from a state of impurity to a state of purity. And okay, they had adopted either the Roman baths in the case of Romania or this shower being poured by another woman in the case of Egypt. That was contrary to the halacha. But basically, which ritual you use doesn't have that much of an impact on the society. I mean, it may be a bit more...
So therefore,
they could enforce going to the mikvah. But here, to prevent a woman to have a non-Jew come into her house to do business meant that you were going to destroy the entire economic foundation of Jewish society.
That about Shabbos too, Protestant.
Fortunately, we were able to maintain Shabbos, but this was an issur d'rabbanan that they were not enforcing. Let's read a contemporary problem on the same one. This is here. I made some copies. So this is, can pass these around. I don't know if I made enough, but I'm running them all. They're 2 pages in one. Each, this is a tshuva which runs over 2 pages. So take 2 pages. No. You take 2 pages, and then you pass the rest on.
It's so important, I don't know. The Rebbe comes beside me on, right? And earlier times, if you didn't show up on Shabbos, don't bother coming in on Monday.
Right. That's
what the boss would say.
Right.
So it also was...
But thank God that we were able to overcome that.
But we lost thousands of the people had to lose their they lost the Yiddishkeit.
That's right. So it was a very terrible
whole generation.
It was a very terrible thing.
So why did you say okay? So you certainly think you can do a Shabbos, so you can walk to work, don't handle money,
The rabbis didn't say that, and they succeeded in retaining the Shabbos. So we were able to fight for Shabbos and succeed. And the New York State Legislature helped. But here, unfortunately, this was not my choice. I'm not expressing a view here. I'm simply pointing out a fact I'm pointing out two facts. One, that women were actively engaged in business in Europe as opposed to in Egypt. And secondly, that the laws of Yichud essentially went by the wayside, even though it's an explicit issue, the Rabbanon in the Gemara. Okay. Now, whether you want to draw any ideological conclusions from this fact or not, I'm not drawing any, I'm simply stating the fact.
But
Right. Good. All right. Here's a tshuva of Rav Moshe. Be'inyan shebemdina zu lokhim nashim lemorot ve'ein mochin baze. After all, the Mishnah says that a woman should not be a teacher because of that. Fathers of the children will come and there will be some problems. So these are 2 questions. And so this was from what, 1969? No. Hinei b'dvarim she'sha'al kvar tarata she'yesh she'kashe la'hashiv Mishum de mekilim v'dinatenu mitzad hadchak. First of all, in this country, there are people who are mekil because of necessity. V'harbei gam shelesh v'lo b'shat hadchak. V'ein mochin b'davar shevadai tzorif tal. So even in cases where it may not be shat hadchak, there is no protest, then this requires some explanation. V'ikar ma shelokhin nashim lemorot. V'ein b'lindei kodesh, v'ein b'lindei ho, hot tzorif tal. The Hatnan beKiddushin Dach Teves Lo Telmad Isha Sofrim Vafilu Im Tinokot Ktanei Ktanim Mishom Avhata DeYinugi. That a woman should not be a teacher even for small children because of the parents of these children. V'Yipsek B'Rambam U'Shulchan Aruch B'Shnei Mekamot V'Katur V'Kesef Mishneh Perek Beis Mitalmud Torah L'Chadar D'Afilu Nesua כיוון דאין דרך האיש להיות תמיד בביתו, וכתב המגיע בתז, שהתז יודע עצמו להם, עשו אך כשבעלה בעיר, משום שמפרש בטעם הכסף משנה, לא מפני שדרך האיש ליסה לעיר אחר, כמפרש שבי שמואל, ואומרנו, מפני זה אסרו לאישה ללמד כבר לתינוקות בשביל הימים שלא יהיה בעלה בעיר, ושביל זה לא היו אסרים לסתם נשים נשואות, כשאין דרך הבעל ליסה מהעיר, דעד הרבה, רוב בני אדם עובדים בעיר. וקצת ראייה, מיד המתניתן כלולות לעצמתך, נקד סתם הפועלים שתיים, בשבת הפשור, הפועלים בעירם, לעובדים בעיר אחרת, אפילו שלילים, ראיתם הוא רק פעם אחת בשבת, אמרו, סתם בני אדם עובדים בעירם, שלכן תנן סתם השתיים בשבת. והברייתא נקצר לפעמים הוא רק עונה אחת בשבת, והוא צריך לפרש משום הברייתא כאן, אלא מכיוון שהיא סתירה למשנה יודע, אצטרה, אצטרה. ועוד כן, כיוון דרך אישה להיות בבית, נקרא לבעל להיות מלמד, אבל לאיש אין דרך הבעל להיות בבן שלכן, אצטרה. ומדינתנו, let's skip to the next paragraph, ומדינתנו כאן, כמעט לרוב ישיבות קטנות, almost in all of the ישיבות, מקבלים לנשים בין פנויות, בין נשואות למורות. We have both single and married women are hired as teachers. Bein lulimudei kodesh, bein lulimudei chol. Whether it is religious or secular subjects. Ve'ein mocheh. V'akshahu m'pnei ha'dochak, shiki kisaron morim kan. Even though there is some pressure because there's a shortage of teachers. V'gam l'skor nashim l'morim hu hotzaa g'dola harbei. Women teachers get paid at a lower scale than men teachers. Mikamakon havadai tzorech tam lehetevze. We have to explain why we indeed allow women as teachers in the yeshivot ketanot. V'nira duhu al pi masha katav hataz be'arabzer shem lefereitz, masha bereisha b'mish ein lo isha lo yilamei tino, katav hamachaber mishem imot abanim ba'ot lebeit ha-sefer lebneihem, v'nimtza mitgare b'nashim. Because the mothers would come to the schoolroom and he would flirt with the women. V'seifa ha'ibah isha katav b'mnei avotehem shem ba'im v'glal b'neihem v'nimtzaim mikyach dimidam. שבראשה נקה שנקת לראית הספר ששם נקצדים מלבדים הווה ואין שום ייחוד. In the case of a public school, a school where lots of people come, and therefore there's no ייחוד, רק גירוי, there's only a sexual arousal, אבל באישה שהיא מלמדת בביתה, יש חשש ייחוד אין שם. In the case where the woman is normally going to be teaching the children in her own house, then there's a problem that the man would come in and be alone with her in the house. משמע מזה, שעניין גירוי כשלקה ייחוד לקה באישה המלמדת. So the Moshe, by making a stretch here, says that the issue of sexual attraction when there is no privacy doesn't apply to a woman. ולכן נמצא להתז שבבית הספר שאיקה הרבה מלמדים שלקה איסור ייחוד לקה איסור לנשים להיות מורות שם. So he's now sort of rewriting the law and saying that the prohibition of a woman for being a school teacher is if she has the classes in her own house, because then there's a possibility that she would be isolated with one of the fathers of the children. But in a school in which there are lots of different classes and teachers, and therefore the woman would not be physically isolated with the father, there's no prohibition.
Not worry about the administrators. That's the ones you got to worry about.
Okay. ואיסור לאישה להיות מלמדת תינוקות הוא רק בביתה. וכיוון שבכאן לא נמצא מורים ומורות שמלמדים בביתם, here in the United States we don't find teachers who give classes in their houses, וכל הלימוד לתינוקות הוא בבית הספר. He didn't have that, or at least he could have it in the public, at the shul or in the school. בבית הספר כל... וכל הלימוד לתינוקות הוא בבית הספר הכללי שנקראו אצלנו בשם ישיבות קטנות לקה האיסור. Since all instruction is given in the ישיבות קטנות, in a general school, this prohibition doesn't apply. ומהי טעמא לקה איסור לאנשים להיות מורות בבתי ספר של המדינה ותינוקות של נופים, שגם כן הם שלא במקום ייחוד. For the same reason, a woman should be allowed to teach in a public school. והנה גם הבח כתב כתז לעניין שינוי הלשן שבאין לו אישה כתב נמצא מתגרה בנשים ובאישה כתב נמצא מייפים מיד משום הדרך האיש להיות מלמד בבית הספר שווה כייחוד על השפשה שבגירוי בנשים ואישה אינה מלמדת על הוביתה שהיא כפשה שייחוד אבל הבח הוסיף ויש לו כתב אין איסור אלו ואין לו אישה פעל ויש לו אישה חופי שאינה אין לו חוש etc. etc. Let's skip to the next paragraph and the next page. וממילא לעניין שאלת תורתו אם נשים יכולות ללמד לילדים גדולים הנה מאחר שלקר ייחוד שמטעם זה מתירים לו ללמד בבית הספר יש להתיר גם כשהתלמידים הם ילדים גדולים ואין חילוק בין לימודי חול ובין לימודי קודש אבל יש מקום לעיין תורתם דלא שייך לנשים גירוי ומשום שהאישה מתיישת להתגרות שלכן אין דרכה בזה והאבות הבאים בגלל בניהם כיוון שנמצאו רק זמן קצר, אין לך אושית גרו. אבל התלמידים, כשהם ילדים גדולים, שנמצאו שם הרבה זמן עם המאורות שלהם, אולי יש לחוש שהילדים הגדולים יתגרו בה, בעין בים של שלמה, סוד קידושין שכתב גדולים קצת גופה יעשו משום ייחוד, אבל הוכה לא משום גירוי, ולכן בית הספר שלקה ייחוד אין לעשות. גירוי אפשר שהילדים הלומדים אצלו לא יתחילו להתקרות שמתיירים ומיישים מאחר שלומדים אצלה, והיא לא תתקרה משום שהיא אישה, לכן יש מקום להתיר בשעת הדחת גדול. Therefore, when he's talking about grown children, adolescents, 16, 17-year-olds who might be sexually attracted to a female teacher, he says it's preferable not to do that, but he's not going to prohibit. אבל שלא בשעת הדחת גדול, אין לקח אישה ללמד לילדים גדולים, ואין חילוק בין צעירות וזקנות. Don't make the difference that the Radvaz made between below 40 and over 40 as far as this is concerned. So again, this is a more or less practical תשובה, ובדבר חשיבות שעת הדחק שכתבתי בתשובתי בקטנים וקטנות ללמד בכיתה אחת אם הוא גם במקום הפסד במון הוא תלוי ואם לא יעשה בית הספר מיוחד לילדות בשביל כיסרון כסף זה ודאי בשעת אחת שכתבתי אבל אם הוצאה גדולה ביותר ונידון הוא אם מחויבים להוציא סך גדול ביותר נרצת במון במידה ברובה ביותר יש גם כן להחשיב שעת הדחק גדול ויש להקל לקטני קטנים בספרי לימוד חול שיש שם ענייני כפירה בבריאת העולם, ודאי הם ספרי אמינות שאסור ללמוד בהם, you can't learn any of these biology books, וצריך להשגיח שמורי לימודי חול לא ילמדו בהם לתלמידים, ואם אי אפשר להשיג ספרים אחרים, צריך לקרוא אותם הדפים מספרי הלימוד. Just simply tear out the pages. All right.
That would be your Darwin stuff.
For example. Okay. One last...
It could be the other way around, where the student is doing the teacher attacks the kid, like we had some cases in right recently, where she became pregnant from one of her students.
Is it Maimonides?
No. I mean, amongst the grammar.
I see. Well, I don't know.
Cases,
you said we. I didn't know what you meant by we.
Well, in this faith.
In this faith, there was a case like that?
Sure, or something.
I don't have. I haven't been following it, so I don't know anything about it. Okay, it's possible. It can be the other way.
Rabbis that murder their wives. Right.
Right.
Right. They're not allowed to. I think one of the colleges now forbids the teachers from socializing.
Yes. What's his name? Galbraith claims that had that law been in effect in his time, he would never have married his wife.
A long and happy marriage.
Everybody else is quite
right. Now here is a rather the other side of the coin. This is a tshuva from Rav Simcha Mishpira or Yosef Ben Yola Levi, both from the Sefer HaRaviyah. I'm just reading it out of Grossman's book. Eshet ish shaita machazeret achamazon noteh, a woman who is going about traveling on business. She traveled with a Jew privately on a coach because she couldn't find a larger company. So this is a case where she was actually raped by two fellow Jewish travelers. When they were going through the forest. Vaita holechet atzoreket ubocha v'kobelet la'ovrim l'ushavim. And the question is how to deal. The authorities arrested these people, and they were then they were set free and escaped by paying a certain amount of bribe. Ah. כי היי עובדה שבכל יום ויום הולכות נשים עם שניים או שלושה נשים ורעות שבעלי תורה אם הולכים בידם לא יודע את האסור. ודע כי תשובה יש בידי שנשאל אבי מורי על אישה ישראלית שהלכה מנצונה עם הגעים ושעתה שלושה ימים בביתם והוציאה משם על ידי שוחד ונשאל עליהם אם מותר פעלה בישית להיתר. So again, here is a case where there was in fact an unfortunate result, namely a rape, where she went with two Jewish men rather than with Goyim. To the non-Jewish authorities, they arrested the two people and they managed the bribe, they paid a bribe and managed to escape. Okay, so
what was the question? Was she an ancient Goyim?
No, I assume she was an Eshet. If she was an Eshet Kohen, there would be no permit. The question is for an Eshet Yisrael, whether she would be permitted because she had instigated this by traveling alone with him in the first place. Okay.
The family wouldn't kill the girl like they had like in Israel.
This is Europe.
Russian.
Okay, now let me touch on another topic, which I hope maybe to get back to a little bit next year, and that's on the issue of the inheritance law. You know that according to Jewish law, the husband inherits the wife, but the wife does not inherit the husband. She has certain claims against the estate. We discussed a bit of this last time as to whether she has the right to demand a pension for her whole life, or can the estate pay off the tuba, and so on. But in fact, in Europe in the 11th and 12th centuries, when women were actually actively engaged in business, many husbands preferred to leave their estate